Hello and welcome to Minecraft Lab. This has been a year. This is the last one of the year. And in case you didn't know, Minecraft Lab is where we, what do? We explore. What do? I forgot.
We explore, we theorize, and we
theorize
all things Minecraft.
We experiment, we explore, and theorize about all things Minecraft.
Year in, and we still can't do the intro.
Right. It's been a whole year, and it's like we go to start, and my mind goes blank, especially if I have notes. I mean, I can have notes in front of me, and my mind will still go blank.
You know, you would think after a year we would have potentially, you know, scripted the start and the outro, because every recording session, that doesn't always make the final edit. It's like, how do we start this? Right now, how do we end this? How do we get to the end? And it's like, let's throw a few segues at Miner. No, you didn't pick up on that one. Okay, the conversation's still going. Let's try another segue to an outro. No, he didn't pick up on that one either. Okay, he'll end it when he's ready. Let's just keep talking.
Yeah, well, we talked about doing a canned intro to where we could just slap it on the front of every episode. But, you know, real life happens.
It does. You know, end of season one, we look back, we reflect, we look at what works, what didn't. We look at season two and go, yeah, we're going to do it this way this time.
Right, right.
And if you had listened to the extra samples, which is where you can hear a bit of the pre-show, I guess you can hear on my Patreon membership, you're going to hear how a pre-recorded intro would have actually been really helpful again this week.
Yes.
Anyway.
Because, I mean, we get into talking and, you know, and it just starts coming, you know, the conversation just starts. And,
yeah, the verbal diarrhea just goes. And, like, it's like, wait, no, intro. Wait, are we doing the podcast now? Right. It's like, oh, yeah. Podcast, that's right. We're not just having a gin.
Right. So the year, wait, oh, I forgot another thing. In case this is your first time here, I am Minor Thoughts, and the other guy on the other side of the planet is...
I am the Troge. G'day, Minor. How you doing? I have to do that traditional hello. Wow.
But
3 minutes in and we finally get to the introduction of each other. That's awesome.
That's right, yeah.
And if this is your first time here, welcome in.
We talk about Minecraft. This has been quite a year. Let's just go back to what we were talking about in the pre-show. Talking about this year in Minecraft Lab. I like the way that conversation was going.
Should I relive it for us?
The subject was, the first episode was... What is epic? What makes an epic build? And you started talking about Keegers and yourself, yeah. Discussions before there was a Minecraft Lab, before there was a podcast.
Before there was an Interrealms podcast. So if this is your first time here, obviously Minecraft Lab on the current format of the Interrealms podcast. So Minecraft Lab is one segment and we have a whole variety of other segments that come out. And every week something drops. Yeah, before there was a podcast, you know, if those that don't know, Keegers is one of the other sort of leaders or faces of Interrealms. Independently, we had been both thinking outside the box, how do we get more exposure for the Interrealms server and brand? And independently, we'd both been thinking, well, a podcast is a good idea. And then in a chit chat that Keegers and I were having one day, he dropped it. You know, I was thinking about a podcast. And I was going, well, funny you should say that. I had the similar idea. And then we just started talking about and developing the idea. And the Interrealms podcast was born. And sort of honored that Minecraft Lab, this segment, which has its own history prior to the podcast, by the way. Yeah, we were the first cab off the rank. And I can still remember after that was released, after that one came out, Keegers messaged me and goes, I just got goosebumps. Because, you know, it's not something you put together and a week later you're firing it off. You know, there's a lot of background stuff you've got to worry about and obviously where you're going to upload it to and how you're going to get it there. And, you know, full credit to Keegers, he does, you know, 99.99999% of that. He's really the driving force behind the podcast. and very thankful to him for that. But just, yeah, I sort of felt the same way. Like when that first one dropped and it came out and I was like, you know, we're away here. We've got a new thing, the podcast, and yeah, Minecraft Lab was alive.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. For myself, you guys just mentioned podcasts and I'm like, yes, sign me up.
Yeah. You didn't even need to twist your arm. It was like, I'm here.
Because I'm an avid podcast listener. Well, no, I wouldn't say avid. I have a handful of podcasts I really enjoy. And it's kind of, I like an audio format. I listen to a lot of audiobooks, and I recently started listening to podcasts. One of them is a D&D, a role-playing type podcast, and that may be something we explore here on our podcast, but that's future talk. But it's just, I like an audio format a lot of the time, whether it's a dramatization, it's a book that's being narrated, or just a couple people talking about a subject. I really enjoy it. And I've got a long commute, so to and from work. So, you know, it kind of passes the time.
Yeah. And I was never really a huge podcast listener. Like there was the occasional one I'd listen to, and I'm not going to say which one I'd listen to occasionally because it could be controversial. When there was an interesting topic that would come along, I'd go, I'll listen to that one. And I did find, and at that time, well, I will drop one name, you know, the Spawn Chunks by Pixel Riffs and Joel. I really enjoyed their podcast and what they do. And, you know, I was at the time, the job that I had was doing a lot of driving around the city. And so you'd put the podcast in and over a night, you'd probably get through all of it. So it is a great format. It is a good thing. And I really enjoyed doing particularly Minecraft Lab. You know, I also with Keegers usually do the Interrums recap once a month as well. And I lend my voice to the audio drama for I Play the King, which is getting screwed over every episode, but we won't go there of that audio drama, the Reapers. But no, I've really enjoyed it. And, you know, some of the topics, and, you know, and full credit to you, Miner, because you bring 99% of the topics that you want to discuss, you bring forward, and that's usually what we go with. And for Minecraft Lab, and I've really enjoyed it. Like you really get to, and I think one of the biggest things, I think the best thing we ever did is the live Minecraft Labs.
Oh, I love doing the live sessions. The interaction from the audience that, you know, when we're during streaming, I think it helps drive the subject and opens it up to new perspectives.
Oh, 100%. You know, it's all well and good, you know, us sitting here and giving our thoughts, but, you know, getting that once a month or whatever it was that we ended up doing with it, getting the other people, yeah, other perspectives, other thoughts. Yeah. And like, you know, sometimes they'll say something and it makes us sit there and go, oh, actually, that's not a bad idea. And it sort of makes us reevaluate what we've been thinking. You know, they are an absolute pain of an episode to edit because, you know, you got the sound alerts going off and all sorts of stuff.
Hell yeah.
But, you know, and you get derailed sometimes because you've got to, oh, thank you for the bits, thank you for the hype train, whatever. But, yeah, they are so much fun at the time to do. And I hope that we can see more of that. Because we have got some ideas too for season two of Minecraft Lab.
Yes, yes. And the subjects throughout the year, podcasts like, you know, the Spawn Chunks and there's a couple others that I've kind of listened to here and there. They kind of go over, they have like a format, you know, they go over what's happening in their world and you know, current goings on in Minecraft. And we've done that, like covered the snapshots, but we, a lot of the subjects we have covered deal with us as content creators playing Minecraft.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, with the first one, it was what makes an epic build. And then, you know, we got into the trends. Trends was I looked at the list of podcasts we've done, and trends was one of those two-parters because the subject is so big and there's so many like sub trends. You've got hardcore and SMPs, and I when I choose subjects I, for whatever reason, I, you know, I'm, I guess I'm thinking as a content creator, things that we do and enjoy and like or dislike, you know, things like that.
Yeah. And I think if we actually, now you mentioned that, when you do look back, we definitely do bring it, bring the perspective of aspiring small content creators to the table. I guess that's the sort of the line in the, that we do take, you know, but we do other things at times too, where we, you know, talk about more general, like the epic build thing. You know, we talk it more general, but what I really did like is we tried to stay on, I don't want to say tried to say trending, but you know, if there was an important topic in the community, we would you know, be straight onto that. And that's what we're talking about. Apart from the whole chat reporting thing, we gave that one a wide berth, but I think that was a pretty smart move on our behalf. Just leave that one over there and it'll sort itself out. Yeah. We're not going to get into that.
One of the big subjects that was trending at the time that we talked about, and I think it was our second episode, was fair use.
Yes.
This was something that, you know, you had content creators like Stevie and others that were stealing content and reusing it, or so we covered the subject of fair use and what is fair use. You know, there were people like, I'm just going to put the names out there, Tango Tech, that had used a design and didn't credit the person, the original creator, and they called him out, and but you know, he corrected it. But and this is something that we've said quite a bit. We've said it. I can recall us saying it. There is nothing new under the sun. There are things that have been done over and over again. So there's, it's just taking something and you've seen it before, but hopefully you can do it slightly different.
Yeah, you know, people have been making Minecraft content for YouTube since YouTube began, or well, since Minecraft began, more accurate. Mm-hmm. You know, and what was it this year? It was like 1 trillion views of Minecraft content was hit on YouTube, or something like, some absurd number. So you think of the amount of ideas and content that's already out there. So by accident, you are going to have from time to time people doing either the same thing or similar by accident. You know, and that whole Tango thing, I think he copped a lot of undue attack over that. And, you know, he did obviously correct it in a follow-up episode, but as he also quite rightly said, you know, if you're looking at that one, that build in particular, you know, he found a picture on the internet that had been stolen, that had been stolen, that had been stolen, that had been stolen. Sometimes you just don't know who the original creators are.
Right.
Now, you can find something for, you know, I think everyone that does a build will look for inspiration, whether it's from real world things or other builds, or just to get some inspiration, some ideas. And, you know, sometimes when you're looking at things, you can't find the original creator. You just can't. You know, you do your best. Right. Sort of rehashing on that topic, though, is for me where the problem comes is when someone deliberately goes and takes a design, loads it into like a Lightmatica program and builds it and passes it off as his or her own and goes, how great am I? To me, that really still grates my gears, right? Because you're trying to build something off something that's not your own deliberately. And that's not what I don't think Tango was on that line at all. He just found a build and went, oh, I like that. It just so happens that the original builder watched his video and I was like, that's mine. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. See, it's kind of a catch 22 on the internet. You know, you see it everywhere. People like to, what's the nicest way I can put this? Criticize.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Even if you did your best to give credit, or, you know, you've always got that their critic out there saying, well, you're just a clone of so and so. You're just copying them. You're just, you know, you've always got the critics in the comment section. And there's a lot of that, you know, throughout social media and content creation. And it's nice to see, though, when someone says, I like what you did with that build. You know, I know it's not original, but the changes you made.
Yeah, I think as a society, it's so easy to be a troll. Being able to be anonymous on the internet, be a keyboard warrior, for lack of a better term, is just such an easy thing. You know, and sometimes that negativity can get to you. You know, and we don't cop it as much as like what the big ones do. Someone like Impulse SV, you know, I've listened to their new podcast. You know, he made a comment there that, you know, he can get a million or, you know, 100,000 great comments, and then he'll find one that's negative and he'll focus on that. And I guess as human beings too, it's nice to take the praise, but when you get that negativity, it's what is it's the thing that plays on your mind. And it can be tough, you know, like we had, I go back probably 2 years now, when shorts were first, you know, in beta, you know, put a short out there of my son doing a parkour course on Interim, and he won it, right? He won that competition. And so I made a short of it and put it, he was 10 at the time, 10-year-old wins parkour competition. That was the title. And I actually had to take that video down because the absolute overwhelming comments on that video was disgusting. And there was no way I was going to let him read it. So I actually had to take that down and delete that video. And it actually went semi-viral. Like, it went for like 300,000 views. The comment section was just a 10-year-old reading something like that. The impact that that's going to have. Now, you know, okay, you know, there's a different topic there. You know, should kids be exposed to that? Well, that's why I run the channel. They don't get exposed to that. I cut that sort of stuff off at the pass before anything happens, before they get to that point. And that video, okay, yeah, and it's the kids' choice. They want to do it. They want to be part of the channel. I'm not forcing them to do it. It was all there. Well, it was all DTG's idea. Like, I just, you know, I was just roped into it and then fell in love with the whole process. So they want to do it. But, you know, you've got to, when you're dealing with kids that age, in particular, you know, you've got to really watch that comment section. But even for adults too, like, you know, you don't know, when someone writes a topic and a comment, whether it's on a Discord or on a comment on a video, or they might have a criticism to make in some fashion, right? You don't know what's going on in that person's life, as in the person that's going to be it's directed to. You know, they could be having a very bad time of life. You know, they could be suffering depression. And then you come along and you drop some of the comments like that, or, you know, a criticism, a criticism with, you know, you're not doing enough, or you're doing things wrong, blah, blah, blah. You don't know how that's going to affect that person on an emotional level. And once you stop the conversation and you hit enter on that keyboard, you're done. You're done with it. You move on to your life. But that person there's got that comment and it's playing on their mind. So sometimes it's just take a step back before you actually say things and how it can be interpreted. And, you know, it goes back to the old golden rule. If you got nothing nice to say, don't say it. No, that went that went a bit serious real quick, didn't it?
Yeah. But I mean, everybody, not everybody, that's too broad. There are a lot of people, or a group of people, that think they're experts, you know, and those are the type of people that make those comments that, you know, like, you know, the simplest thing is like, you're doing it wrong. I'm like, it's not really constructive. It's, I would like to know how I could do better. Just tell me I'm doing it wrong is not helping me at all.
Well, don't just come with the negativity, come with a solution.
Right. Exactly.
But, you know, again, society is taught the easiest thing to do is hide behind a keyboard and just send it off.
Oh, yeah.
And then just send it off into the world and see what happens. You know, I can certainly see, even though, you know, I have not got, my channels aren't big nor extremely active, but I can definitely see what the bigger ones talk about how mentally draining it is when you do get, you know, you drop a video and you get 100,000 view in the first hour and, you know, your comment section just fills up. I can see how it can really be a drag if you get those that negativity in that. Like, because, you know, let's face it, as a content creator, you are an entertainer. Like, that is basically your profession, is entertainer. And, you know, that negativity to your art, it can hit you. It can hit you hard. It's something that you're passionate about and someone comes along and goes, this is bad, or you've done it wrong, or some sort of criticism over something that could be so minor and so small, it can have really big ramifications on your mindset and actually hurt you moving forward as a creator.
Right. Especially when we, as ourselves, are our biggest critics, you know. When someone comes along and adds to that, you know, it just kind of compounds it.
Sometimes if you got something to say, think about how it's going to come across and don't just come across that with, you know, this is bad, blah, blah, that we could do it this way, you know, or you could do it, could have done it this way. Offer some solution. Just don't come with the negativity all the time.
Getting off a serious subject.
Yes. Yes. I apologize. Oh, that's two stuff ups for me. No intro and then take it serious. I apologize.
No. We had gotten behind on snapshots. So we had a whole episode of snapshots. We talked about just about everything that we had missed in the snapshots for, was it 1.19, the wild update?
Yep.
But shortly after that, the next one I think we talked about is, what was it? Why we love Minecraft.
Yes, why
that was, we love Minecraft. We don't have to go through everything that we talked about in that episode, but it's just, it still fascinates me. And stuff, I'm going to try to bite my tongue and keep my mouth shut about what we're doing, but it's still, the creative juices are still flowing and things we're planning still make me love the game, you know, just as much now as when I first discovered it. Even more so, we're planning some stuff that I'm excited about.
I got to say, you know, just touching on that, why we love Minecraft thing, and after so long, you know, it's a game. And I think I said this during that. It's a game that's got something different for everybody. But very recently, like in the last couple of weeks or so, I've actually seen it firsthand. You know, for those that don't know, I've gone through a really rough spell health-wise, as Miner has and as well. You know, with COVID and then other onset difficulties associated with that. And you know, it's been, you know, almost 2 months that I've been unable to stream and hard to get breath in my lungs and all that sort of stuff. But anyway, forgetting all that, I'd also been suffering creativity block in terms of storyline, build. You know, I would set out to build something and I just couldn't get it right. You know, and you know, you come from season two where I built an entire Wild West town on live stream. You come into this season, I sit down on a live stream to build something and it just wasn't happening. And in the last probably 3 weeks, as Miner will know, you know, I've really delved into Redstone for a massive project that I'm planning for the server. I have rediscovered a love of the game based on Redstone. Now, I knew basic Redstone and I had followed tutorials to build a pretty complicated Redstone machine in the casino in season one of InterRealms. But what I'm doing in the last few weeks is not looking at tutorials. I'm going, right, this is what I want this system to do. How can I achieve that? And just sit there and play with all the Redstone components until I find a way to make it work. Is it the most efficient way? More likely not. But does it work? Yes. And I felt a sense of self-fulfillment that, hey, I've actually been able to make this theory a reality to work. And I'm actually really enjoying the redstoning side of it now. And I'm finding my love back that way. And that's something I think that Minecraft really does, is it's just so many ways to play the game. And I think that's why it is so popular. And I'm seeing that now, you know, firsthand, that, you know, I would have classified myself as a builder. I'm definitely not a redstoner, not at this point. But, you know, I'm definitely in that builder thing. But because I'm suffering that creative blockage at the moment, to have another avenue to enjoy the game within the context of Minecraft and have something completely different, that's a really unique thing in terms of a game.
Yeah. I would say, without giving away too much, you've pretty much been in your own Minecraft lab. You've been experimenting. You've been working on theories.
Pretty much. And I tell you what, there is no better feeling. Like yesterday I was working on I can't say too much because I don't want to give everything away, but I was working on a system for this project that I'd been working on for like 2 days and I couldn't get it right. And I just sat down yesterday while the server was deleting all these files. It's just, well, I opened up Minecraft and I was just playing on this Redstone world of mine and I got it to work. And I literally jumped up, ran outside, got my son and said, I've done it. And I dragged him in and I said, look, this is it. And he sits and he looks and he goes, wow, that's all by just one button. I went, yes. And I said, he said, that's the whole thing. And I went, yes. Apart from X, Y, Z that I've got to add. I said, but yes, I've done it and it works. And it actually, like proof of concept, it works. And it was a really good feeling.
Yeah. I mean, you and I were talking about it in private, and it's satisfying to not only have to build something, you know, totally in creative or even on a live stream that's you can call yours, but to have something in Redstone that you kind of tinker around with, try this, try that, kind of work it out, troubleshoot it. When it comes to, you know, and it finally works, you're like, it's like in a eureka moment. It's like, you know, you feel like an inventor, like you've created something. It's a different creative satisfaction.
Yeah. Very much so. You know, and sort of hearkening back to what we said before about there's nothing new under the sun. I have no doubt the systems that I'm building have been done before in some degree and probably done better by someone. But you know what? That's fine, because at the end of the day, this still come out of my head. I was the one that still figured out how to fix the problems, how to make it work and how to make it function. Whether someone else has already developed those systems or what, doesn't matter. I still did it without a tutorial, and that is so satisfying. And, you know, and right. Some of it is actually quite simple. And like to quote Mumbo, you know, it looks difficult, but it's actually quite simple. And
it's actually quite simple.
You take a, like a screenshot, like I've sent you some photos and I've shown one or two other people, and it's like, it looks complicated, but I actually get that saying now. It's actually not. Like when you actually understand what each of those different circuit lines are doing, it looks complicated, but it's not. And that's the thing I think with Redstone is the more you get your head around what each component does and how a big, intricate, interconnected system works, you break it down to one circuit that's color-coded, Tango.
instead of all the same color block.
Yeah. It's actually quite simple.
Right.
You can still test things in Creative Miner and they still go boom, but you put them on a server and they just don't quite go boom.
Still working on that. Still working on that.
In creative.
I have to create a new world because the other one's full of holes. But no, I understand what you're saying. That, I mean, and it goes to another podcast subject that we had as, you know, inspiration. There are several things that inspire you and I and, you know, everybody. Like with my mud farm, like you, I knew what I wanted and I kind of had to work it out and then troubleshoot, but I took inspiration from different mud farms. But at the end of the day, it is my build. It's, you know, something that I put together, I worked on, troubleshooted and got working the way I wanted it to. And yes, there will be a video. Won't quite be a tutorial, but I think I'm going to release at some point the mud farm because it's something I am quite proud of. Just like doing a, you know, a decorative type build that's 100% original and being proud of it, you get the same satisfaction with Redstone.
I've never been a huge Redstoner. Yeah, having worked on what I'm working on at the moment, I get that. Highly satisfying. Like, I don't think I've ever finished a creative build and gone and run out and grabbed my son and go, look at this! But I did with this Redstone thing. But it, like, to me, like one of the biggest driving things for me, and not just in Minecraft, but in life in general, is a challenge. And then once you've got that challenge, actually seeing it through and completing the challenge, whether you end up not being able to succeed or succeed, but you've seen it through, that's the important thing. And yeah, some of these systems that I wanted to do, I had no idea. I think I spoke to you right from the get-go of the concept that I was wanted. I had no idea how to do any of this. And one of the things that still makes me smile when I think about it is I messaged you saying, I want this system to do X, Y, and Z. This is what I want it to do, this first system. And 2 days later, I think it was, I messaged you going, sorted it. And you've got, what, you've done that all? Like, you've got it all to work. And I went, yeah. And you're like, you seemed amazed. And I was like, hey, I've done that, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you plug away at something, you know, long enough. And you sometimes have to walk away from it. You know, there are, I'm not going to say rage quit moments, but moments where you're like, just moments of frustration where you're like, I'm going to take a break, come back and try again. And that's, like I said, that's the way it was with the mud farm. I had some hiccups here and there, but I finally got it working just exactly the way I wanted it to.
And I'll admit, on the server, it works really well. On your world, it works really well. My world, I don't understand why it doesn't work on mine. It just, like, because I was going to make a block by block tutorial on how to make that thing. And I physically couldn't because I just had bottles flying everywhere. I was like, well, I can't put this onto a video. Mine, it doesn't work. And then you show me your world and it's just working like a dream. And I see it on the server and it's working like a dream. It's going, oh, well, clearly I'm an idiot. So.
Well, see, when I was developing it and trying out everybody else's mud farm designs, you know, I tried a bunch of different ones and I was having the same issues, whether it was in the creative world or on the InterRealm server. I was getting bottles that were getting spit everywhere and I couldn't figure out why. I don't exactly know why you're having the issue with, because it's an exact schematic of my build. So
literally just pasted the schematic into the world, didn't.
So I'm not sure what the issue is, but it works like a charm. I even figured out that I can do the F3+T AFK thing. All you need is one piece of dirt, and it feeds you. Even if there's server lag, it doesn't hiccup. So
it is
it works like a charm.
It probably is the best mud farm that I have seen, and you really need to do a showcase video. Seriously.
There is the option of doing having it be a concrete converter. The only problem with it is there are two different blast resistances for mud versus concrete. So you kind of, I may have it figured out. I've got to go back into the creative world, but I think it can be a dual use for concrete or mud.
Well,
which would be cool.
Yeah. As I said, you need to make a showcase video on that really quick, because it will go nuts.
We had our first guest, apart from doing live streams, you know, where the guest is the audience pretty much, but Maggie Piecraft, we invited to talk to us about SMPs. For a while, I started to see people talking about whether or not SMPs could survive. Are they starting to die? Is that niche of Minecraft starting to fade out? And I think we all came to the conclusion that no, it'll survive. It just needs to adapt and keep doing different things. And I think what we're seeing now is maybe that evolving with crossovers between SMPs.
Well, maybe in the new year, maybe it's another topic we maybe need to revisit, because I do wonder whether the likes of Hermitcraft is actually fizzling out.
I don't know. They have a strong start. I see it with a lot of the Hermits. I've seen it on the InterRealms and I've seen it on different SMPs where they have a strong start and everybody's gung-ho. But then down the line, you see ideas kind of fizzle out. And it kind of takes, sometimes it takes a spark from someone coming up with a event or whatnot, or a crossover like Hermitcraft is doing to reinvigorate people. But yeah, there's a couple different hermits that they tend to kind of, you know, fade off and start doing other things like, you know, speed runs or their own little single player worlds or whatnot, modded Minecraft, because they've ran out of ideas to do on the SMP, even though they still may have projects that need to be done. I think it will continue. SMPs will continue, but it seems like they go through phases, I guess.
Now, it's funny with the whole crossover thing. I think I may have mentioned it to you a long time ago, maybe. I know I said it to somebody, I can't remember who, but I did mention that I was interested in, you know, an idea that I had had was with, you know, the Daybound SMP. You know, if we had like some sort of crossover sort of thing like there, but it never materialized for whatever reason. Life got in the way, and then all of a sudden Hermitcraft do it. And it's like, well, you know, if we do it now, we're just copycatting. But yeah. Which then goes back to that whole thing of, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, blah, blah, blah. You know, and there's a, you know, and I heard a comment recently that someone said, you know, they find that, you know, an SMP or like a series life for this sort of SMP content is like about 4 months. And if I think about it, it's actually a really good comment because I can see, you know, with Interrealm, since day one, we have 3 months and then it dies off. And then something happens and it comes back. And 3-4 months later, boom, it drops off again. And that's obviously a pattern. So, you know, I guess it's still, and I think I said this in that SMP podcast, that, you know, it's up to the SMPs to find a way to be different to keep that going. And I do think the traditional SMP format, Let's Play format, is probably gone the way of the dodo because it doesn't get interest. So how do you change it up to keep it relevant, keep your content fresh and up vibe and interesting, as I say, in this new environment? And I think really, you know, sort of changing topic a tiny little bit, you know, you see a lot of channels come out and they give you advice, and we're not just talking Minecraft here. We're talking like, no, just general things. And they give you advice on how to be a content creator and how to grow your channel. But you know what? Every single one of them comes from a position of they've already got an existing audience and what they did years ago. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry, but if you had, and actually this is one thing that was brought up in the Imp and Skiz podcast that made me go, you know, I think Impulse said, you know, he sort of expressed, I won't say disgust, but he expressed, I guess, disappointment about modern videos where you've got background music and you've got quick cuts and stuff like that. And then he made a sort of comment, I am definitely 100% paraphrasing here, along the lines of, you know, you don't need to do that. A lot of these people that give advice and thoughts like that are coming from a position that have got a pre-existing audience that they've built over 10 years. And I would challenge them to actually start now with the content that you're making now and grow. Right. Because I don't think the same format would get you views that is getting you views because you've got an existing supporter base that have been with you for 10 years. And you've already got that snowball effect going where you've already got the role so you can attract. So I think it'd be nice to see someone come out and go, hey, I'm a small creator. This is what I'm trying. It hasn't worked. So what does work? And try and get advice from that way. Because if we sat down and tried to make a video that some big creators make, we will get less views than we get now because it just doesn't grab, as a new creator, as a small channel, it doesn't hit the mark. And I think you and I touched on that in a previous podcast, is that the rules that apply to the big guys don't apply to us starting out, which sucks. But, you know, I don't know where I was going with that. My mind went on a massive tangent and I apologize.
And that goes back to the podcast about trends. As content creators, you have to play to the trends. You know, you have to follow them and or, you know, create content around them. Or you talked about editing styles, whatnot. I see a lot of editing that's similar. I'm going to harp on one trend is hardcore. A lot of it looks the same that I see. It's, you know, you hear a lot of the same sound bites, kind of like fast and jump cuts, and they're loud. And the titles I was looking at this today, just kind of doom scrolling through Twitter, you know, and there's a couple different people that I follow that do hardcore, but a lot of the titles, and I know YouTube picks these titles up because I'm guilty of using a title. It wasn't exactly hardcore, but as I built this in Minecraft, I built this in Minecraft, I built this epic build in Minecraft. And yeah. I know YouTube picks that up because it's a trend. It kind of shocked me. My last video, I said it was okay. It may have been a little clickbait. Well, okay, I guess it was definitely clickbait because YouTube pushed it. not a huge, but I was kind of shocked. And it was, I built all the farms in Minecraft 1.19. No, I didn't build all the farms, but that was the kind of like the gist of the video is, but most of the farms were in the swamp. So yeah, it was a little clickbaity, but I see that a lot with the trends, and it's hard to compete between a small creator and a big creator, but I don't know what else do you do.
Well, we said this in the trending thing is, as a small creator, you have to, and if you want to grow, you have to hit the trends. You have to hit the things that people are searching for. Because if you don't, no one's looking for it. Okay, I can take an example here, right? Yeah, so my three channels, right? You got DTG Family Gaming, you got the Troge, which is like Minecraft tutorials, and then you got Troge Plays, which is like highlights of streams, right? The DTG Family Gaming one, even though it's the biggest channel by far, like 5,000 subs, gets the least views because the titles of SMP stuff is not really, it's not a searchable term. But I go to the Troge channel, it gets like 600 views a day, is approaching 400 subs, it gets at least a few subs every day because the titles are written to latch onto the trend or what is a searchable term. And if I go to the Troge Plays channel, the best performing video is Minecraft, but there's only one chunk because Minecraft but is such a trending thing. And that video for about 2 days went absolutely bananas. And then the algorithm went, yeah, no, that's enough for whatever stupid reason. It was absolutely pumping.
Some people say you got to feed the algorithm. And then there's other people that say, forget the algorithm, just concentrate on something catchy.
Then you got to have a mix of both.
Like I said, that video kind of blew me away, you know, when I started to look at the analytics and why it was being pushed. And yeah, obviously the title. But then I looked deeper into it and it was being searched because people were looking for slime farms. There's nothing about slime in the title. There's nothing about slime in the video, really, or I mean, not in the video, in the thumbnail, but I did mention it in the description. So I don't know if that's why it got picked up as far as why it was being searched and viewed, but I don't know. Who knows? It's one of those things I haven't quite figured out.
You did. But you did show off your slime farm in that video too, did you not?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, so YouTube will actually listen to the words you're saying in the in the video as well. So slime, yeah, obviously that was, it's picked it up. So good job on getting the push.
I really didn't concern myself, you know, before. And generally I don't. I enjoyed, you know, creating the things and then showing them off. It's like, I don't know what it's like. But I'm not going to lie, it was fascinating to see it get pushed at where it was just totally natural. And, you know, looking back, I guess it was because of the title. Well, look, the main reason I think I'm theorizing.
That goes to show, you know, a channel can do if it hits the right, you know, you don't have to go and buy views. You don't have to go and buy subs. You don't have to do this. You don't have to artificially inflate it. If you hit the right words, you hit the right SEO, it'll just happen.
But that goes back to what I was originally trying to formulate the thoughts I was trying to formulate. People that do a lot of hardcore, the keywords of I built this, I built that. I'm just wondering if that's just something, you know, people want to see, if that's what people want to see, you know. And it kind of makes me think of, how in the heck do I title my next video? I mean, do I say, I built this adventure in Minecraft, going to be received the same way, or what? It's just kind of like a gamble, I guess.
That's sometimes. the fun of the YouTube game, isn't it?
But I mean, and you're right, that for bigger content creators, they can put whatever they want. I mean, there's a guy that I watch every so often that just does commentary, and he can put out a title that says so much drama, and you know, people will click on it because they're like, what drama are you talking about? You know, yeah. They want to know what drama he's talking about, so they'll click on the video.
It's never an even playing field. I guess it comes back to, do it for the enjoyment, do it for the hobby, and if it happens, it happens. And then the worst that's happened is you've had fun with friends.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, it's something that I definitely want to continue. And I do have plans. I've written things down. I've gotten to where, ever since I started InterRealms, I started kind of keeping an idea book, kind of like Mumbo Jumbo does, keeping an idea book. And some of them I do, and some of them I don't. But for every season of InterRealms, I've kind of had an idea book. And sometimes I'll lay out a complete episode, or sometimes it will just be the idea, the general idea, topic, or, you know, farm, or whatever I want to concentrate on in the video. But the next video, the keyword of the day I'm hearing around the block is lore. So I want to start creating some lore and not be just a miner. I want to be an adventurer.
You know, but isn't that funny as well? You know, we keep saying about, and there's nothing new under the sun, you know. It's just funny. There's a lot of, and it is coincidence. I'm not saying there's a conspiracy here or anything, right? But there's a lot of things that we will talk about or be planning or have implemented, you then see the bigger ones doing. So, you know, it was just funny, you know, we did a podcast, right? And then all of a sudden, everyone's doing a podcast. You know, you and I spoke about Adventure Guild stuff and adventures in the game way back in season one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, B-Dubs is doing that sort of, well, he's sort of off it at the moment. But, you know, that was a big focus from him in his early part of his season. I had the crossover idea with Daybound that never went anywhere. Someone else is doing it. It just, right. Nothing is new under the sun. And it does suck. It does suck.
Yeah. Well, especially when you have an idea in your head and you just don't have the time or energy to get it down on paper, so to speak. And then someone comes along and puts it out there and you're like, oh, dang it.
Yep. And there's nothing you can do about it. Like you can, people would say, well, still do it anyway. But yes, but then you do it and it looks like you're just copying. So you just got to put it on the back burner. But this whole adventure thing, I had no intention of putting that on the back burner because I was looking forward to that for literally years. So that's going to happen. That's happening.
Right.
But that's where I was going with that, actually, that whole conversation. So it's just funny now that there's a big move towards lore. But, you know, we, again, in season one of InterRealms, we started down that path. Now, it hasn't worked out that way for a variety of reasons we won't get to on the podcast, but the whole clans thing was designed around to bring lore into it, you know, and a few videos started off as purely cinematic storytelling as opposed to gameplay because we were trying to bring in the lore. And it's just funny, we were too early in the piece, maybe. Mm-hmm. But it's just funny because, like, there is this shift towards lore telling and storytelling now. And it's like, well, we had that idea back in season one too. Maybe we were just too early. Like, we were in front of the trend, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. It's ironic. It's frustrating. We talk about these ideas and then, you know, we see them elsewhere. The only thing you could do is just kind of move forward and, with your idea, and I haven't really watched a whole lot of the crossover event. And I know Grian and some of the other, they're wanting to get into storytelling and lore and things like that. But I mean, that's something that we've been talking about for a while. Hermitcraft did it in season 8, where especially with Zuma's crew, which he didn't quite enjoy, but as much as he thought he would.
Mm.
You have to have a story in mind, but still be able to adapt it and be flexible, especially when you're working with other content creators that may have different designs, different ideas. That's the whole idea around collaboration is,
yeah,
just learning how to work together.
And that's what it's been us, you know, good first half of season 1 trying to get that idea. So it's not something that I think that's going to happen. It doesn't come easily. We've got a lot of young, newer content creators in the mix. You know, we're newer. Yeah. We're not younger. You and I, we're newer. We're definitely not on the younger right. side. Yeah, look, I think it'll come. It just needs, just looking at it, we just need, you know, the content creators that we do have to really be prepared to sit there and, I guess, for lack of a better term, step up and say to these ones that want to give it a go, we are here. We are making content on the server. This is what we found. This is our storyline. Come in, come do this. You know, right. You can't sort of just be left to the one or two. It needs all of us to, you know, to make this really work. Yeah, we're here. We're taking it serious. And yeah, come play. Come right. have fun with us.
That's the whole, that was our thought for the Adventurers Guild from the beginning, from season 1, was it, we're not only creating content for ourselves, we're creating opportunities for content for the other creators.
Yeah.
It's something that everybody can enjoy and do. One of the things that I really liked about season 1 that Dracolus did, and this is kind of not really, but I think his doors game is something that would really fit in to like an Adventurers Guild type adventure.
I agree.
Something like that. And we've got ideas brewing and I don't want to give away too much, but that are kind of that same thing where it's all a part of one thing. It's a part of Adventurers Guild.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not going to say too much, not going to give it away, but, you know, we got a lot of interconnectivity there, and it's all about giving an experience to the players that come onto our community server now, something to do, something to experience. And I had this conversation with someone last night. You know, where I'm really focused on at the moment is giving people an experience that, you know, they might say, oh, what do we want to do? Oh, let's go and jump on Hypixel or something. Well, okay, that's great. But what if we build experiences that they can come and have it on our server? And that's all where I'm about. And then make content from that, you know? So, and I won't say the little project, but the big project that I'm working on, I'm so excited to get that going and see people's reaction to it, because if it can all come together, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Right. And it's more than just a mini game. It's something that's it's going to, the design I've got, you know, the epic thing for Adventurers Guild is it's more than just a mini game. And because anybody can, you know, anybody in the community can come on and raid a end city or an ancient city or whatnot. But that can, you know, that can get monotonous. But what we want to create are things that you can't find anywhere else.
So that's sort of our look back. But we got some exciting stuff coming for next season of next Minecraft season. Lab. Well, I can't even really say next season of Minecraft Lab. Like the Interrealms podcast is, I don't know whether we can say it or not. Keegers, please cut this out if you're listening before it goes up. But we're looking at a completely different format.
It's something I don't know about.
So what we're looking at doing is, so the podcast itself has been, you know, for a first time round, first year of doing it, it's been quite a success. And what we're looking at doing is expanding.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ideas that we have there is the Interrealms podcast is a single podcast. And it has different segments on there. You know, you've got the player interviews, you've got the recap, you've got Minecraft Lab, you've got the Reapers, you've got, I mean, gaming news, but I think it's defunct now. So there's a whole plethora of segments. And there's other ideas for other segments as well and different things that aren't even Minecraft related. So what we're looking into doing is the Interrealms network. And then under that network, each segment, each thing will have its own separate individual podcast. And so what that means is Minecraft Lab won't be a segment of the Interrealms podcast. Minecraft Lab will be its own standing podcast under the Interrealms Network banner.
Oh, okay. Kind of like the one that I'd listen to quite a bit is MaximumFun.org. You've got all kinds of different types of podcasts under one network.
And that's what we're looking at doing. It should be exciting. And I know of at least three other ones that we're looking at rolling out as part of it. I'm not going to give anything away. So there's at least three that I'm aware of, and I'm sure there's more. And There's four that I'm aware of. So it's actually a really exciting time, and we're really enjoying the podcast side, and it's, you know, getting some decent sort of numbers, and it's tracking okay. And as far as Minecraft Lab goes, mine, I know you and I have talked about this. We're looking at going twice a month.
Or a regular live segment.
Yeah.
If I'm correct.
Yeah.
Because we enjoy the interaction of you, the audience. If you're listening to this on Spotify, there's ways you can leave comments, but it's so much better when you're doing it live. You have people joining in and making comments that we're reading out live for the recording.
Yeah.
I'm sure that we'll have plenty more subjects to talk about in the new year. We're going to, this will be the last one of the year for Minecraft Lab. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break over the holidays. Here in America, it's Thanksgiving and Christmas, but
just Christmas for the rest of us.
We'll pick it up again next year.
So I guess, you know, given this is the last one, I guess it's probably appropriate. Strange as this sounds, it's like mid-November, but we're going to wish all of our viewers and all Interrealms fans, anyone that's listening, a very Merry Christmas and happy holiday period. And if you don't celebrate any of those, then happy time with family or whatever is an appropriate cultural thing to say these days. I'm not sure. But we want to thank you very much for the support, not just of the podcast, but Interrealms as a whole. It's been a very big year for us. So many changes in terms of the brand and everything, and so many more people and so many new members. I just saw then with the update, we're up to 27 members on the server. So that is quite insane to think about. And most of those are active, which is great to see. Thank you for everyone. And thank you, obviously, you know, the podcast was a new frontier for us. And it's all very encouraging as we look to expand upon it. So we look forward to seeing you again next year.
I really want to thank Keegers for talking me into this. Don't ever feel like you twisted my arm. I was itching to do something like this, and I really, really enjoy it. He's our guy, podcast manager, I guess you would say.
He is the father, the mother, the son, the daughter, the sister, the brother. He is everything. He is the podcast. There's no doubt about that. He is the website, and he is the... Oh, at the moment, he is also the only active server admin as well, like admin of the brand. So because I'm on a bit of a break from all of that, so he is the man at the moment, and we do definitely tip our cap to him and say thank you for everything that you do, Keegers. And I don't think anyone argue to say he is doing a sterling job.
You can see all of his hard work. Go to the website. What's the website?
InterrealmsSMP.com.
And you can find links to all the individual channels for the members, the content creator, all the content creators on the Interrealm server. I believe you could find links there if you would like to apply to be a part of the server. Mm-hmm. It is a community server. Well, I think that about wraps it up for this year end in Minecraft Lab. Mm. It has been an awesome year. It's had its trials and things we've all had to go through, but overall, it's been a good year.
It has. And Minor, personally, on a personal level, thank you for agreeing to do Minecraft Lab as one of the things. It's been an absolute pleasure doing it with you. You know, you and I, you know, we're part of the OG crew of InterRealms, but, you know, we've formed a really close friendship over the last 2.5 years or whatever it is. So being able to do this with you has been an absolute pleasure. And people might hear a 40-minute, you know, one-hour podcast, but we've actually been talking for like three for most of it. So this is for most of the recording plus. So, Minor, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I look forward to doing it with you again in 2023.
Even off microphone, we're always talking. We share the same passion.
100% on that. We definitely do. And, you know, and that passion sometimes, you know, you go through your ups and downs of your motivation, which is natural mm-hmm. and normal, but we just keep each other on track. And, that's the great thing about it.
Definitely. Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for joining us here this year on Minecraft Lab, and we will see you next year in 2023 for Minecraft Lab Season 2. We will explore, experiment, and theorize about all things Minecraft.
And possibly script the opening and the ending.
Oh, I thought that was a pretty good one right there. That was like that was like radio ending right there.
Mate, I'm going to be clipping that one, and that's what I'm going to be saving, because that was just superb. Well done. Very proud of you, mate. It took you 1 year to get to the last one for the show, but you nailed it. Good job.
I felt like I nailed it.
Giddy up. Well done.
All right. We'll see ya.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.